From a helicopter high above the desert, row after row of large tents appear, gleaming white against the golden brown terrain dotted with scrub brush. On the ground, we get a closer look at the massive operation. In less than 3 weeks, Fort Bliss transformed a military training camp with bunk beds for 1,800 soldiers into what the Army calls a village with the capacity for 10,000 people. Fort Bliss's Colonel Mike Wagner explains the process for new arrivals.
And that's where one of my leaders from the brigade will give them a welcome brief, officially welcome them to Danyana Village.
The briefing is done in Dari and Pashto languages.
They'll start out with here a map that shows them where they are in the United States, so they know where they just landed.
The goal has expanded beyond meeting basic needs of Afghans evacuated as the Taliban took control to providing some quality of life. There's now religious support, a community center, and a soccer field. While at Fort Bliss, the refugees get help with the complicated immigration process, applying for a work permit and medical screening.
The next stop against the back wall is where we'll give the mobile vaccination, vaccinations for COVID. And that's one of the mandatory vaccines as part of the immigration processing for them.
About 80 flights have arrived at Fort Bliss since August 21st, filled with evacuees. All go through security vetting before stepping foot on U.S. soil, according to the Department of Homeland Security. Most of those at Fort Bliss are families. Nearly 40% are children. Each large tent can house up to 100 guests, as the Army refers to the Afghan evacuees. There's air conditioning and heating and cloth privacy partitions for individual families. Colonel Wagner shows us a tent serving as a donation warehouse filled with supplies for the evacuees.
This is a place where, thanks to the generosity of the American people and a lot of our corporate donors, that they were able to get some of the basics that they need to continue to survive.
That includes diapers, personal hygiene products, and clothes sorted into packages by gender and size.
So from children up to adults, small, medium, and large. And we build those packages to send out to our guests, because a lot of them are coming with only the clothes that they have on their back and what they were able to escape with.
Officials did not allow reporters on the tour to interview any of the Afghans staying at Fort Bliss, citing privacy concerns. As we walk from the tent filled with donated items to a dining hall, playful children run outside. At a dining tent, Colonel James Brady, garrison commander at Fort Bliss, explains the operation.
In total, we'll have four dining facilities, right? And each dining facility has the capacity to feed 2,500 people every day.
Among the offerings, halal meals.
Halal meals are culturally appropriate, don't have pork, heavy with rice, vegetables, and fruit.
Inside one of the dining tents, serious women in headscarves balance to-go containers with food. Their children carry cans of Coca-Cola. A tall, middle-aged man wearing a traditional tunic over loose pants took in the crowd, deep in thought, far from home. The final large tent we visit is where Afghan refugees get a pre-departure orientation as they prepare to leave the Army base with help from resettlement agencies. A State Department representative explains the goal.
A lot of people had an undignified exit from Kabul in the chaos of the evacuation. We're hoping to give them a dignified entry to their new lives in the United States.
About 130 individuals have completed the process at Fort Bliss and are now waiting to find out in which city they will begin their new lives. I'm Angela Kucherigan, El Paso.